Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus, the best there is in news and entertainment across the fruited plain. We're here again with more content that we can possibly squeeze into one episode, I'm sure. But hey, we're going to try, right?
Oh, yeah. Put a 10 pounds of poo in a 5-pound bag.
So we have a quorum. Tim is here. Joel, Tim is back from a long stretch drive from Montana.
I pulled a 39-hour day.
Oh, man.
And I got 2 hours of sleep, so I'd be nice and fresh for our listeners.
No rest for the weary. Joel is here as well. We've got lots to discuss on the show today.
I have had more sleep than Tim.
I got a nappy today, so.
You've been hitting those naps pretty regular. Buddy,
I do it every chance I get.
You got a decade on me, so I'm not judging. I'm not judging.
I'm telling you.
I've got some naps.
I am a professional.
I have some naps in my future. I have a feeling, Lord willing.
I even do it involuntarily, kind of like Joe Biden at times.
Thanksgiving.
My wife doesn't appreciate
Thanksgiving
that.
Cutout.
Right in the middle of a serious conversation and...
Oh, yeah.
I'm gone.
I definitely lived through my dad doing that our whole life. Every Sunday, we had people over pretty much. And just mid-conversation, dad would nod out and just...
Got to do what you got to do. By the way, guys, I'm so excited about this, but just a little teaser for episode 50, right? So this is episode 48, and we'll probably do a two-part between this week and next week because I'm going to be out of town next week. But when we all come back together, it's going to be epic. The 50th episode, which is coming up in just a couple weeks, I'm not going to give it away, but we are in discussions about a banger of an episode where we're going to be live from an undisclosed but super cool location that's going to be off the charts for our listeners.
I know that our Christmas extravaganza was not very extravagant.
No.
And
it's a beautiful letdown.
I do believe, though, that this one will live up to the hype.
Mm-hmm. So we'll probably have special guests and all kinds of other shenanigans, as always. So stay tuned for more details on that. We may put it out there on our social media where exactly it's going to be and what we're going to do with that. But
certainly everyone follows our social media.
Right. Hey, so our YouTube is up. We'll talk about that toward the end of the episode, but... If you guys get a chance to go to our YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel, we have started putting out some YouTube shorts on there.
I did order some hats and just going to try to get a few, together and kind of see what we like. And those, Ben may be able to bring those live in the next couple months. So,
yeah, we've got some ideas rolling around, so... But good right stuff. Now, we're going to dive into, so, oh my goodness, so much has transpired just in 1 week in the news. It's hard to even decide on what we can talk about.
The whole trip back is all I could think is, man, this would be the week to have my hat, my tinfoil trucker hat, because everybody's in the weeds.
Yeah. And I mean, how can you help?
And the weeds are taller than they've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of us has got time to do a daily podcast, but this week we could have done a daily podcast.
Oh, easily.
Every day.
Easily.
I was listening to Rogan crawl out in the weeds on the shooting.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this. So the assassination attempt on President Donald Trump, which happened a week ago, you know, last week we had very limited information because it had just happened, you know, by just a couple of hours by the time we started recording. Now, a week later, here's what's crazy. The same questions are still being asked that we asked just a couple hours after it happened. But we do have a lot more information to digest. But still, those same questions, I think, are the main ones that people are still asking.
But there's still a lot of questions being asked from the 60s about JFK. I mean,
right.
So I'm not holding my breath on getting any good solid answers, but
here's what I think though. If
there's a lot more,
if in the 60s people had cell phones,
I know it's inconvenient for the CIA.
It's a little bit easier for the CIA to cover it up, right?
And I don't want to jump ahead, but I mean, maybe they're like, we need to have some serious network disruptions next time we plan something mm-hmm. like this. And so,
and then
the biggest network disruption. And, shout out to my buddy Brock, who's stuck in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, his plane was grounded.
He had the choice to drive 27 hours to Nebraska in a rental car
he said, that's too much of a Tim move for me.
No, he called me. He said, would you do it? I said, I'm doing it. And I wouldn't do it if I had any other choice. I said, no, stay in Florida for two more days uh-huh. and just hold it over. So
yeah, it's crazy how many planes were grounded because of all that.
Yeah.
So I tweeted about this week, but it still comes down to two options for me. It really does. You know, it's either gross incompetence on the part of the United States Secret Service and the local law enforcement that were involved in protecting Trump at the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, or worse, it is a deeper plot to allow that to have happened within the deep state. It's one of those two things.
Can I ask, you both are more informed than I am, but was the lady that was recording on her phone very calmly? Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, the one behind the stage.
Yes. Is she really the assistant?
No, they debunked the FBI. That.
Okay.
Yeah.
If that was...
I think it was actually Candace Owens that debunked that.
Okay.
But somebody did. Yeah.
Good.
I'm not sure why she was so calm.
She was
in the midst of all that, but she sure was.
She looked excited.
Yeah. So what we have discovered since then, I think, is just unbelievable. Regarding the shooter, the obvious ineptitude of the security that was present that day. The shooter has been identified by the FBI as Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20-year-old from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. We'll get into his profile a little bit later, what we know about him here in a bit. But there's a Twitter compilation breakdown from a guy on Twitter by the name of Oliver Alexander. You could find that, Joel, if you look it up. And it's kind of a breakdown of the shots that were taken by the shooter, by Crooks, and where they went, where each shot went. And I thought this was a pretty good and thorough and I think really an accurate depiction of what happened with that. So I want to go through that. I think it's worth kind of digesting. I'm going to bring it up here. So it's Oliver Alexander. It's a thread is what it is.
Did you send it out in the free form?
I did. I'll put it on.
I think it'd be easier if you pulled it up from your free.
So it shows that there were three other people that were shot aside from President Trump. So David Dutch, Corey Comprator, he was the one that died that Trump recognized and memorialized in his speech at the RNC the other night. And then James Copenhaver. That was the three people aside from Trump that were struck by a bullet from the shooter. So here's a wide angle recording. I think this is Right Side Broadcasting Network that had this footage, and this shows the entire event. It's about 44 minutes long, but I'm not going to play the entire thing. But you can see this angle, and it really shows all three bystanders that got struck by Crooks' bullets.
That chart's a couple of months old, and if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
So after the first three people started getting down, and you had the next volley of shots after that. You see in the background there, this is like a shot looking at the stage.
We got breaking news coming in. Shots fired. Seems to be shots fired at the Trump rally. Hawkeye's here. He didn't. He did not. Is he okay?
So we'll pause it at that. But I just wanted to show the shot because it kind of gives a wide angle view. Up here is the stage in the center. And then over here is one of the people that got shot and hit. Two people, actually. And Corey Compitore was in this area right up here in the bleachers. And then you had another guy on the other side. So the first round that was fired by the shooter impacts the railing. You'll see in this shot here, it's visible over in this area. It's like just a little bit of dust or debris or something that shows when the bullet is hit. A puff of smoke, maybe.
Did they...
This was the bullet that actually struck Donald Trump's ear. So you see the line of sight there.
Which roof was he on?
So
it's
the
not visible.
It's not visible in that picture. I don't think. You can see the yellow line. The yellow line right here is the shooter, the first bullet.
Okay.
So Trump is speaking here in the center. Corey Compitore and those guys are over here in these bleachers.
Corey is right there, that green one, at the top where your mouse just was.
Right here.
Yeah, and the other two guys that got shot are at the bottom of the screen.
Down here.
Yep.
So he was in between. Corey Compitore was in between
Trump and
the shooter and Trump. Okay, so...
Did they figure out if he had a scope or...
He had to have had a scope. I mean, 150 yards.
It was rumored that it was iron sights, but...
Not so, a 20-year-old kid that's...
No, I think there was somebody who... And I'm not sure if this is confirmed or not, but they said it wasn't like a glass scope. It was like a red dot scope or that like an EOTech.
Yeah.
That is a heck of a shot with 150 yards.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't remember who. Maybe it was Tim Kennedy that actually said that.
Might have been like a 3X red dot.
I mean, it could have had a magnifier. Yeah, an EOTech can have a magnifier, right. But it's usually like the maximum's like three times magnified. So even with a three-time magnifier at 150 yards, that's
I wouldn't even think that kid would know
and what
the bullet's
going
to drop or anything.
What was the...
There's so many questions. We're going to talk about some of that.
What was the caliber? Did they...
Well, they said it was an AR-15.
5.56.
But, you know, if it was a 5.56, it had to have... I still believe, and I said this last week, I still believe that it had to have been a full metal jacket round.
Yeah.
And not a...
No.
Expanding bullet. For it to go through and then through someone else kill them and still moving on through.
Definitely.
Had to have been a full metal jacket.
Yeah.
If it was a 5.56, I still don't know that that's confirmed as to the caliber of the bullet. But
it would have made sense, though, on the damage that it did to Trump's ear, because...
Yeah, but I still think that, I don't know.
Like, no tumble or anything. It had to have just gone straight through.
Yeah, I think by the sound, after listening to the sound... It was more than like a 22 or even a 22 right. Magnum. I think it was probably something higher than that. But
well, and we don't even have it. No one's even said that it's an AR-15, right? Not officially confirmed.
I mean, I think I've read that a couple places, but I don't know that the investigation has said or the FBI or any of them.
It could have been
said.
An AR-10. I couldn't tell you the difference between AR-10 and AR-15 other than AR-10's got...
Yeah.
Bigger gauge bullets.
But there's no, I don't think it could have been like a 308 or more.
No, it would have caused
I think
a lot
it would have
damage.
Caused a concussion and even probably damage to the side
just
of his
the,
head being
just
that
the
close.
Air moving around.
Yeah.
You know, that big.
Because, I mean,
bullet.
The doctor said it was less than a quarter of an inch that it missed his head by.
It's insane, guys.
So after the first shot, the two additional rounds, which narrowly missed Donald Trump, strike David Dutch. He's seen reacting to being hit. He kind of turns and falls to the ground. You can see that in that video. And then after a short pause, if you remember, there's like two kind of separate volley of shots. The first are more measured, the first three shots, and then the next four are more sporadic, quicker, and I think more off target. So after the short pause, he fires off more uncontrolled volley of rounds. And these are one of the ones that strikes Corey Comprator and James Copenhaver. So the first shot that hit Trump also hit David Dutch. The second volley of shots is what struck Corey Comprator and James Copenhaver. You can also see in one of the videos, you can see the hydraulic, it hit a hydraulic hose on the telehandler that had the flag that was holding the flag up, one of the flags, and that starts spewing hydraulic fluid and the boom starts lowering. Did you see that video?
I did not, but I've seen that.
It might be in one of these here, but if you go on down in this thread, also one of the conspiracy theories is that there was a shooter on the water tower. I don't know if you guys have seen that. See the water tower in the background?
Yeah.
So the water tower is quite a bit further away. I don't know exactly how far. I think there were a couple of maps that they put together, some of the distances. But at this angle, in this video, it shows that there was no one in the water tower during the shooting.
It makes you wonder, like, surely they checked that. But, you know,
you would think, but they just
don't know.
Thank God
there wasn't.
Right. I think it's very clear now from what we know that all the shots were taken, the two volley of shots were taken from the same location that were consistent with Crook's location. And then there's a delay and then a last final shot that I think was the sniper shot that took out Crooks. It's a little bit more muffled. I think he probably had a silencer on his gun. If it was from the sniper's gun, it is different sounding than the others.
Yeah, they almost certainly would have had a suppressor on there.
The other part of this is if the counter snipers, so that's one of the questions that we're trying to understand too. And I still don't know exactly who it was. Was it Secret Service that took out the shooter, or was it the counter sniper teams that were local? From what I'm hearing, it sounds like it was a Secret Service agent that actually took him out.
I don't know. I've never been on a presidential detail, but I have been on a vice presidential detail with Joe Biden, and they used our local snipers. And they could have had more snipers that we didn't know about,
mm-hmm.
but they did use our local ones.
Yeah. So we still don't know really exactly who it was that took that shot, but it was one single shot, I believe. And from several reports that I have heard, it wasn't one of the closer snipers that were in the videos that a lot of people saw, that the sniper that actually took out the shooter was further away. So again, as to how far he was or where his location was, I don't know. But this thread here, this shows kind of a computer generated map. This shows the view from the water tower here. There are several of these, and we'll look at another one here in a minute, but it's really interesting to look at the breakdown of all the different locations and where everybody was situated, where the shots were taken from, the line of those shots, where they ended up. But the bottom line is it's a miracle. It's really a miracle that Donald Trump is still alive. If you look at some of these computer-generated shots, have you seen this one where it shows like a vertical, like a top-down look at Donald Trump's head as he is speaking? It generates that, and then it shows the line of the path of the bullet as it's traveling. Sheesh. And how close it was.
Well, I mean, that's not even a full second. That's a fraction of a second.
And if he hadn't have turned exactly when he did at that angle to look at the screen that he was trying to refer to when it came to, I think he was talking about illegal immigration. It was a chart regarding illegal immigration, if you remember that. And he turned at that moment to look back at that chart. If he hadn't at that split second, it would have been a perfect shot, actually. So, you know, there were originally people saying, you know, it's a good thing that the shooter didn't know what he was doing or that he missed his mark or whatever. I think the truth is he had a perfect shot, but there were other factors, and Donald Trump moved his head at the perfect time for that to miss his head and strike his ear. But, I mean, again, less than a quarter of an inch, that's unbelievably close for that, especially for that caliber of a weapon. Mm. But if you look, here's another CGI illustration that's a little bit more detailed with some commentary that shows the scene and the path of the bullets as well. And I thought this was interesting.
Yeah, this is wild.
The 3D illustration of how many bullets were fired and their trajectory that struck three people at the Trump rally on July 13th, 2024. This is the area we're going to focus in on.
So this shows like
here you can see the
whole
three
area.
Victims that were injured by
the three people that were shot. So that's Corey Compatore. This is the other two. This is the telehandler that actually got shot in the line.
Fire and where they were standing in the bleachers. We're going to turn around and demonstrate exactly where these bullets came from. This model represents Thomas Crooks. His position could be seen here in this image, which illustrates exactly where he was.
I want you to notice, see this ladder?
Yes.
So how tall is that a... That it's looks like to me a 10-foot step ladder.
Max would be 12. They don't go much, they don't go taller than
and
that.
And it looks so. Like a one of those fiberglass step ladders to me. How heavy is that?
They're about
18 pounds.
No, they're like 100 pounds. They're incredibly
they're heavy.
I know 12 footers are incredibly 80 pounds probably. Incredibly inconvenient to haul though. Like
there's no easy way to tote that thing around.
You would look like the the coyote on Roadrunner.
Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote toting that through.
But you do notice the trees that are right in that little niche there where the ladder is set up. Like, it could have been possible, I guess, to not be able to see that unless you were up high. But I can't believe that the snipers didn't see. That the counter snipers couldn't see that ladder.
Is there any possibility that that's just a maintenance access?
Like a permanent access? It doesn't look like it. There's a couple of other shots that I saw from different angles.
If
and
it gets
looks
wider
like,
at
to
the
me,
bottom, it's...
It does. It looks like to me it is a fiberglass stepladder, a tall fiberglass stepladder.
That is a very flat pitched roof.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm saying.
But according to the Secret Service, the reason why they didn't have anyone on there is because it was too dangerous.
The FBI had somebody on there pressure washing it,
right?
The next day,
yes,
in an FBI uniform.
Turning around, we can see the path of all the bullets that were fired from this location. I placed a 10-foot red disc downrange to represent what an average shooter could hit easily.
That's like a 112.
Now let's take a look at this first shot fired. Coming from our key location, bullet one grazes President Trump's ear. This is the same bullet that hits a spectator in the stands. We know this through video evidence. As President Trump is talking, the first shot rings out just after he says, "Take a look at what happened."
Something to say. Take a look at what happened.
We can see the vapor trail of a bullet strike, which is the same bullet that struck President Trump's ear a split second earlier, and this video is this location here. Back at the podium, President Trump is shot and grabs his ear, falling to the ground as more shots rang out. In total, there were 7 or 8 shots, so let's rewind and watch this at regular speed.
Take a look at what happened.
Look at that. Like a tunnel.
With all that gunfire, it's easy to understand how these spectators were injured, even though they were not the target. Including the sole spectator who lost his life that day.
It's a miracle to me that there weren't more people that were injured or killed. Looking at the path of this and how many people were there, when you look at the video of how many people were in these stands on both sides and then crowd out in here in this area, it's just crazy.
As we circle around, we can see how all the paths of the bullets were hitting in the location of this forklift machine, causing one of the hydraulic hoses to burst.
Yeah. That's the shot of it.
Yeah, those are
the speakers. It was holding speakers up. It wasn't a flag.
Hmm. The I think that's like 4,000 PSI, something crazy on hydraulic.
So there's also several timelines floating around that show more perspective relating to the timing of all of this. I think this is important to note as well. Not only, you know, showing that these bullets did come from the same place and were You know, according to all the information that we have from the one shooter on the roof, because there's tons of conspiracies already, you know, talking about different shooters, other people involved and all of that. And, you know, we don't know to the extent of, you know, whether anybody else was or not. But based on what information we do have right now, it does show, it seems like to me, that it's accurate to say that the shots came from the one guy on the roof. So Tim Kennedy has one of these timelines. His is kind of a short one, and there's a longer one that has a side-by-side video compilation showing, it has like a time ticker on it, showing the timing of this, and I think that's important to look at as well. So we'll look at some of these timelines. Tim Kennedy's, you know, he's just like going through and analyzing that. At 5:10 p.m. is when Crooks, the shooter, was identified as a person of interest, which to me, I don't see how it even took. Why did they just know at that point? I mean, he was there longer than that. There were several other videos and things showing him, but that's when they identified him as a person of interest, 5:10 p.m. 5:30 p.m. is when he was spotted with a rangefinder, when the shooter was spotted with a rangefinder in his hands. 5:52, so 28 minutes or 22 minutes later, he's spotted on the roof by Secret Service at 5:52 p.m., spotted on the roof by Secret Service. 6:02 p.m. is when Trump takes the stage, and then at 6:12 p.m. is when Crooks fires the first shots. So that's how long that Secret Service knew that this guy was a possible threat, even knew that he was on the roof way before Trump gets up to speak, and they still did not stop it, still did not prevent him from taking the stage and saying, look, we have a possible threat on the roof. And I'll never know. I'll never understand why that was allowed. That's one of the biggest questions for me. How in the world they knew he was there and recognized that he had gear and everything, possibly even a gun. I mean, how did they not see that, right? If they knew he was on the roof and didn't pause the rally and make sure that Donald Trump was not vulnerable in that situation.
Let's figure this out real quick before we proceed.
Right. Like, it would have been easy to say, let's delay this for a bit until we figure out what this guy is doing or whatever it might be.
I think any one of those things would have merited, you know,
for
removing
sure.
the guy from the premises.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you don't have to pause
anything.
Well, it's
known that he came through security with a rangefinder.
Wow.
Like, I don't know how that was ever allowed. I mean, Joel, you've worked these kind of things similarly. Like, if somebody comes in the line and they've got a rangefinder in their hands, and you're talking about a high security
situation
like this, you don't let the guy in with it for sure.
Maybe,
you might say, take it back out to your car,
so
and then you can
saw
come
it
in
and knew that it was a rangefinder.
Well, that's another question.
I mean, I could see somebody coming through and me thinking it was like a monocular.
Well, he had a golf bag. With a
why are people taking golf bags and
MAGA head cover over his AR-15, you know, driver cover over his AR-15 barrel? It was confusing.
I'm confused.
Yeah, the Titleist hat was his shoe in, apparently.
So this is a side by side. Okay, so this is like there were people who saw this guy and were concerned that were just there that were attending the rally, who took video of him. And so this is like a timeline of those people at what point they saw and recognized this guy. And then when Trump starts speaking, what's going on at the same time. So watch this timeline.
If he was doing his job, I wouldn't even be doing this. I'd get some beautiful place with a gorgeous ocean.
Look, they're all pointing.
The Atlantic, maybe the Pacific.
Yeah.
So people are videoing this guy walking around.
Top of the roof, look.
And now he's on the roof.
There he is right there. Yeah. Right there, see him? He's laying down, see him?
Yeah, he's laying.
So Trump is up speaking. There are people pointing at this guy on the roof saying, there he is, right there. He's climbed up on the building. They're videoing him while Trump is speaking.
And Sven, I'm here with you fighting like hell to get a Senate.
What's happening?
And to make sure we take back the White House. If we do, we're going to make America better than ever before. We're going to make it.
Yeah, look. There he is.
And it's not easy because we have millions and millions of people.
Tell me, Joel, how in the world did those counter snipers not see this guy?
I don't know. I don't know where they're at. I don't know anything. I know that the guys that there were law enforcement officers on the ground around the building. And I know that it's a tin building. At what point do you just start firing through the tin?
Yeah, I mean, they were inside the very building he's on.
Do something if it's
wrong. In fact, they confirmed and said that instead of putting people on top of the building, they decided to put them inside the building because the roof was sloped.
Well, I mean, I know at one, I might be jumping ahead, but at one point there's officers that see that he's got a rifle and he turns around pointing the rifle at him.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to fall off. Okay, at what point do you just start emptying your mags into the roof? We'll replace the roof.
Right.
This guy's trying to kill people.
I'll never.
There's a lot more questions that arise.
You know what it boils down to is scared cops.
Yeah.
Not willing to act because of the repercussions they might face.
Yeah. They're going to ruin your career. They're going to potentially put you in prison.
Especially in a high-profile situation like that. I think you're right about that. I think that is a serious problem that we have across the board.
It's in every department in this country.
Because of the recent events over the years where officers have... This is not wanting to play. But anyway, so this kind of goes through and shows that minutes before the first shots were taken, people were watching this guy on the roof.
If they can see him from their vantage point, I can shoot him from their vantage point.
Yeah.
I don't.
From the ground.
I don't get it.
So here's one. This shows a video somebody was taking at the rally, and Crooks is in the background here, walking around by himself, looking up at the rooftops.
God.
Okay.
You literally can't even make this stuff up.
This is 1 hour before that Trump started talking.
For people who haven't seen this and can't see this.
He's in the background looking up at the tops of the...
By himself. There's nobody within...
By himself.
There's nobody within 50 yards of him. Somebody didn't see this and think, man, that's weird. What a weird dude.
Yeah, an hour before and nothing was done. By the way, what was the so of all the pictures you've seen, which is the most viewed picture of the shooter that you guys have seen on the internet?
The one with the lip piercings.
You have seen that one a lot.
No, yeah.
I hadn't
seen it before today.
You haven't. We have different friends apparently.
So
I haven't been online a lot this week.
Most of the media, and even on Twitter for a long time, were only showing the picture where he looks like he's a 10-year-old kid.
Well, and then the one with the back of his
I
head.
Was
yeah.
I was seeing the BlackRock video picture of him and the
his eighth grade graduation.
No, the piercing one. I have all the right friends. I only follow people who are delivering.
I hadn't seen this one.
I still have yet to see any of the mainstream media show this picture of him with the lip piercings.
I don't go to the mainstream media for
the
anything,
choker necklace. So.
Yeah.
It does look like a transgender
teased,
almost.
Teased hair. I mean, there's no other reason a guy would tease their hair like that and wear a choker.
Mm. But, you know, for obvious reasons, I suppose they haven't
hide my kids if I saw that one creeping around.
So apparently there was an officer that did confront Crooks on the roof, climbed up the ladder and confronted him. And I guess he turned around and pointed his rifle at him. Crooks pointed his rifle at the officer, and he radioed what they called a blanket tactical channel, that there was an individual on the roof with a weapon. And this was before the assassination attempt. And my question to that is, you know, why then was he not immediately evacuated? You know, as soon as that officer climbed the building and made it known that there was a person with a firearm on top of this building who was not a security personnel, why didn't they shut it down? Now, I know sometimes there is communication breakdown between like local police channels, Secret Service. You know, there's different channels that they use. Joel, you can speak to that, but
insert the blanket tactical channel.
Right.
Like you're going to, not all the Secret Service are probably going to be on that. They're going to have their own channel, but you're going to have more than one
person
secret,
on it.
Secret Service guy with all of your local law enforcement. They're going to say, hey, we're switching to the tactical, whatever, TAC-2. And we're all going to, we're all, and that way we can talk to Secret Service. They can talk to us. So
but let's get to the other part of it, that the Secret Service, it was not a good look. I mean, had there been a Secret Service person appointed, I don't know that anybody was the safer. Did you, the lady that fumbled with her gun two separate times, did you see where she was actually ducked down behind Trump in another picture?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what if that caliber of Secret Service agent was the one appointed
to looked like Barney Fife, man, that one
coordinate
did.
With the officers on the ground.
Well, and I don't want to get ahead of our game plan here, but isn't there something that you've got in store for us talking about that?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit. But the point of it is, again, it's just gross incompetence on so many levels by the security. I mean, here's these officers. They supposedly, they went to the lowest part of the building, and one officer boosted the other high enough to reach the roof where he could look and see this shooter that was on the roof.
I'm going back to this. If you can talk on the radio, you could fire a gun. I guess he's hanging, and he fell and got hurt. Right, according to one of these stories that
I've read that. I don't know.
Okay, if you can talk on the radio, yeah, you can pull the trigger on a gun.
Exactly.
Somebody do something. Yeah. If it's wrong.
Yeah. But instead, they ducked and turned around and left, I guess. But they did radio. So again, there were people who knew at that point that there was a person on the roof with a weapon.
And were they not in contact with the Secret Service on the stage? I'm guessing.
So here's what
they're
this,
on separate.
Did in fact here's see what this guy an said. Individual on the roof with a weapon.
He saw the shooter.
He did.
Your officers are on patrol. They hear that.
This is the city manager for Butler Township speaking about the officers.
Is a suspicious person on the rooftop. What did your officers do?
So our officers in the area started to converge on the building. My understanding is they did a full perimeter walk of the building, weren't able to see up on the roof. Two of the officers went to what appeared to be the lowest point from ground to roof. One of the officers actually boosted the second officer up high enough for him to grab hold of the roof. When he was able to pull his head up over the roof, he did in fact see an individual on the roof with a weapon.
He saw the shooter?
He did.
And what did the shooter do?
Turned towards him, had the barrel of his weapon pointed at the officer.
At that point, the officer's hanging on
yes.
to the side of the roof?
Yes.
Unable to pull a gun out?
Unable to...
Unable to reach his radio?
Any of that, yeah. Yeah. Strictly defensive movement for him to lower his head, duck, lost his own grip, right? Fell approximately 8 feet to the ground.
That's a steep drop.
That's a good drop.
It's
yes.
About a 14
did he get hurt?
Foot
he did.
In that moment, did they realize there's a threat right now to the former president?
They did. So both the boosting officer and the officer that fell were both on the radio, indicating that there was an individual on the roof that did, in fact, have a weapon.
They were calling somebody else to come take care of their
problem.
So
there was a blanket tactical channel being
everyone
used.
Heard it.
Everyone that was on that tactical channel heard it.
Okay.
Yes.
How
so
much time
Secret Service
between
was
that
probably
radio
also
communication
on that blanket
and
channel.
The gun being fired?
There would have been
at
some Secret
president.
Service on that
had
same
to have
channel.
Been.
That I don't have any.
How did?
Because that's when you're like,
this is the,
you know, if they're on the radio and if there's anybody on Secret Service who's on that channel and heard that immediately, they're going to radio their snipers on the roofs.
Yeah.
And say, do you see this guy? Can you spot this guy? He's on this building. Because they know what building at that point.
But maybe there were no snipers on the roofs because of those 112 pitches.
Well, the video that you see with the two snipers on the roof, that has a higher pitch than the
yes.
building that Crooks was on.
Yes. A lot higher.
That's what's crazy to me.
It was probably the most 412 versus
ridiculous
a 112.
Excuse by Secret Service as to why they didn't have anybody on there. So the other thing about this is apparently
inconceivable.
Crook's parents called the police the day of the rally and were concerned about his whereabouts. Now, you know, whether they were like, you know, he's missing. They're worried. They knew something was going on.
They knew what was going on. He's a 20-year-old man.
He had to. They had to, I think.
When a 20-year-old man goes missing, you know what happens? Nothing. I don't care if he lived at home.
Right.
Nothing.
They called the police.
Because they knew.
Because they knew what was going on. They probably didn't have the guts to say it. But.
So here's this is actually a Fox News interview here, and she's talking about this.
Rally shooter Thomas Crook's parents were looking for him in the hours leading up to the shooting. We're now told they eventually called law enforcement to report that Crooks was missing, and they were worried. And they also were told, those parents are now being cooperative now with authorities, but they gave them the heads up that something's going on with our son. We are worried. We don't know the texture or the details of their concerns.
But see, that's the thing. Like, if they knew and didn't say.
If they knew and called and said, hey, he's super anti-Trump. I know Trump's in town. Just thought we should let you know.
And he left the house. Props to him. Yeah. He left the house with a gun.
But if they just said, he's missing, we're worried about him, you should look for him, but didn't say what they actually knew.
If that's the case, they'll be charged.
I think they saw him walking out the door with a gun.
And I think there's a lot more to that than what they were letting on, is what I think.
I guarantee it. That we don't know the texture, she said, but I have a good feeling. Nobody calls saying that they're... I mean, if your 20-year-old son leaves the house, you know.
Well, he worked at a nursing home. So that's the other question. Like, how did he pay for this? He had a drone. He had... Which I think the Black gun Rock. Turned out to be his father's.
A BlackRock commercial has to pay something.
Yeah. But we'll get into that. So
we'll
here's
the question.
We'll
pay you in tactical training, gear, drones.
What do we know about this guy this far, Thomas Crook? He's been described as a brainy and quiet young man who built computers, won honors at school. He graduated from Bethel Park High School in 2022. Prior to the incident, he had limited social media. This is another thing that doesn't make sense to me. They're saying now that he had zero social media presence. That does not compute.
Builds computers.
To me. Right.
Techie.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't have social media.
Don't do the social media.
I don't believe that for a second.
This is...
I don't trust anybody with no social media.
This is going to be...
Right.
First red flag.
Right.
This is like a Sandy Crook situation.
We know that he had tried out for the school's rifle team, but he was turned away due to poor shooting skills. That's an interesting tidbit.
He had
a membership at a local shooting club, the Clareton Sportsman's Club, for at least a year and had purchased a box of ammunition containing 50 rounds on the day of the rally. Also purchased a ladder the day of the rally, but we don't know if it's the one that we see on the building. I saw some reports saying it was like a 5-foot ladder.
No. So we know the officer, we're going to assume the officer's 6 foot tall, hanging at arm's length, falling 8 foot. That's a 16 foot tall wall to the roof deck that bump down where the breezeway goes between the two buildings looked to be about 12 foot. So it was a minimum 10 foot ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum. And those 10 foot ladders, even, I mean, they're you heavy. Do not relish picking one of those up and carrying it 20 feet.
It looks like a fiberglass ladder to me. So here's the other question. You heard the city manager saying that they had walked the perimeter of the building several times, right? How come they did not use that ladder to check?
Right. I was wondering why they were boosting people up when there's a ladder. Why
did they
good
not
ladder.
Go up the ladder and check to see if they could see him or not? Versus, let's find the lowest place.
I mean, if you know a guy
somebody.
Has a weapon, you might be trying to get like a tactical advantage by, you know, creeping up behind him on the edge of the roof instead of going up the way that he's facing, because he would have been.
Yeah, but I mean, the way
he
they did it, he's hanging on the building and he has no tactical advantage
at all. But the guy turned to look at him. They might have been like verifying, because if they'd come up the ladder, he was behind. He would have had a direct shot at the ladder. So I wouldn't have been excited about rushing up that ladder.
I will counter that with... these guys were not on average patrol. They were there on a presidential detail. They knew what they were getting into. That guy's on the roof. At this point, it's known to them. He's on the roof with a sniper rifle. He's trying to kill the president. At this point, you might just have to take a bullet.
Yeah.
You know what you're there for.
Most likely wearing a vest.
Do
right?
something. Shoot through the tent. Do anything.
Yeah.
Do anything.
I mean, I agree that shooting a volley up through the roof at that point is
warranted.
I mean,
at least it would probably cause him to move where some of the other snipers or people might be able to see him. I still don't see how they didn't, but you know, maybe it would have. But anyway,
do anything, anything.
We're talking about a roll of flex tape,
right?
Could have solved the.
We also know that he had visited the site of the attack.
And could have saved a spectator's life also. There's more than just the president that was in danger. This is...
People died. He had visited the site of the attack, the Butler County Fairgrounds, there around five separate times in the days before the assassination attempt. Had also flown a drone that he apparently owned around the fairground, around where the rally took place. And despite the lack of clear, according to the FBI, there's no clear motive, which again, I don't buy that, but they're trying to say there's no motive that we can find here. But the FBI is investigating the incident as a potential act of domestic terrorism. You think that's a potential act of domestic terrorism? But
no motive.
There's no indication that Crooks had any strong partisan political views or affiliations, supposedly. He was expected to enroll in Robert Morris University in the fall to study mechanical engineering, but had informed the university in March that he had decided not to attend. Here's some of the other bits of information we know about Thomas Crooks. He had three encrypted offshore bank accounts. We do know that for a fact.
Wow.
What 20-year-old do you know that has three encrypted offshore bank accounts?
I know some really fiscally responsible 20-year-olds that don't even have a...
don't even know what an encrypted bank account is.
Right. But if you're getting paid for BlackRock commercials, you might need, you know, some offshore accounts.
Some place to stash it. He had a rangefinder. He had purchased a ladder at Home Depot. After analyzing the location data on his phone, now this is not confirmed, but I did read, I think, a good thread on this, but Tony Saruga is the guy that did this, claimed to have found that Crooks spent 97 minutes, this is according to data on the phone, which would be geographical data, 97 minutes at the Meridian Lanes sports bar and kitchen called the Bullseye. Two other devices at question were also sitting in close proximity for the same amount of time. So it looks like there were three people meeting for 97 minutes at this location.
Which is really crazy since Biden wanted Trump in the Bullseye.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of really a coincidence.
Crazy coincidence. By the way, so a 12-foot fiberglass Warner is only 50 pounds, but I promise you it feels like a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Carrying one.
And if you're carrying a gun.
Yes. Like, it's the most inconvenient 50 pounds on earth.
Now, I don't know. It seems like to me, like, possibly if he had been there five different times, that maybe he stashed the gun somewhere.
Yeah, but why would you buy a 5-foot stepladder?
But again, this is a business. Like, nobody saw this guy walking around five different times and saw him stash a gun if he did, right? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it was tossed up to him from the CIA operative.
So, yeah. So Tony Saruga and his team, they specialize in mobile data analysis, and they've been combing through what I think is the publicly available geolocation cell data on this. Now, what he found is that he had visited the fairgrounds five times the week of the rally. He had visited the AGR corporate office. So AGR was the business. The building that the shooter ends up being on is a business, and it's called AGR. But their corporate office, he had been there as well for 6 minutes, which is a different location. He also walked around the AGR building for 12 minutes, the one that he ended up being on.
With a rangefinder?
Well, no, this was previous.
Oh.
This was the week of the rally. So after the visit to Meridian Lanes, the bowling alley, where he spent 97 minutes there, it's interesting, you know, especially given...
Have they tied him to any, like, groups? Like
the Republicans. He's a registered Republican.
He looks like a registered Republican.
I swear to goodness.
Well, they did call for people to register as Republicans and vote Democrat.
I tweeted about this because Pennsylvania is a closed primary state, and Democrats always encourage their people to...
Register as Republicans, vote Democrat.
Yeah, in the primary.
Yes.
In the primary. So they
you register as a Republican and vote for what's-her-face.
Yeah.
From this last cycle, the primary.
I'm going to act like I know who what's-her-face is.
Joel. Are you talking about around here?
No.
No, Pennsylvania. Like presidential.
Oh, yeah,
It's presidential. What's that gal? The primary against Trump.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. Yeah.
So if you
the warmonger.
So if you were a Democrat and you didn't want Trump in, you would register as a Republican and vote for Nikki Haley.
Exactly.
And then to...
Yeah. And it's known that they Trump do out. That, especially in closed primary states.
He looks like a Republican for sure. I hate to profile.
I only point that out because I had people this week throw it in my face that he was a registered Republican. So.
Yeah.
By people.
But so here's what's crazy to me. Here's some of the questions that comes from this. Like, that he was so comfortable visiting this AGR site five different times, flying drones around the fairgrounds the week ahead, to me is unsettling. Like, you know, it suggests to me that either he wasn't working alone or, you know, had help to allow him to roam around freely at this business. We also know that he had explosives. He had a transmitter on his person, on the roof.
Hadn't heard this yet.
Yes, and that he had explosives in his vehicle that was found. Some then speculating that he had intentions to blow up the vehicle maybe as a distraction. We don't know. You know, that's one theory people have thrown out there. But what astounds me about all of this is, again, the incompetence of the security, mainly the Secret Service detail that was there. So, you know, again, they want us to believe, like, here's the public narrative right now. They want us to believe that this kid, without any training or any record of learning about explosives or tactical op analysis, was able to infiltrate and get into a position this close to a former president without anyone doing anything to prevent it.
The slope on the roof is laughable.
Is that
I don't think. I think at the peak at 16 foot, I think a 5 foot ladder might have. Look at that. That looks like it's about an 8 foot cross through where the two buildings connect.
Right.
That 5 foot ladder probably could have gotten up on that looking at that vantage point.
It is possible if you look at that.
Like that window has to be at about 4 foot. I mean it would have taken.
That building's taller.
Yeah. I'm saying at the peak they are, but look how, like, that's not 12 foot right there.
Mm-hmm. And that is what, like, maybe a 412, maybe more like a 212.
I think that's a 112 pitch, Ben. That is, hey.
I'm scared, deathly afraid of heights. I would walk on that roof.
I know you would. And Joel, I can verify, Joel is not a big fan of heights. But just the deeper you crawl through the weeds, the more questions arise.
Yeah. Here's another like video that I think shows again, like what we're talking about with this, when it comes to the ineptitude of security, it's very apparent to me that they had no contingency plan to even be able to, if something did happen, get back up to the secured area quickly. Okay. So watch this video. And this shows like where, after the shooting had happened, the local security teams were trying to get back up into the area, into the secured area, okay? And here's what they were doing. Watch this. There's fences, and there's no way to get through or over. So they're literally, they pull a vehicle up, and they start ramming the fence to be able to.
And
hit it like you mean it.
Why can't they go?
Hit it like you mean it.
They don't. They just don't look.
There's no barbed wire at the top of that. Why can't you get over it?
I will say though, it does have the little leaners like there was barbed wire. Yeah. Yeah, it has the angled bars.
So that took them a good. What are they?
Yeah, look at these cops here. These city cops are letting the county or state, whoever that is, go take care of them.
They look like state. They got the hats.
There goes a county coroner.
A guy just threw a sawhorse.
It just...
This is poor leadership and scared cops.
But I will say that the cop who made the eye contact and fell off the guttering probably did cause him to be in a bit of a rush to take those shots. That's the only... I mean, the silver lining... If you're looking at it, if you make contact, a guy swings his gun and points it at you, he was on the clock at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And had that contact not been made, it could have been a very different. We're talking about a quarter of an inch.
Right.
Every second, everything happens for, I mean, if everything happens for,
yes,
for a reason, which
yes,
is a tough one.
Yes, and thank God it did.
I'm just...
But a circus clown could have made eye contact with him.
You're right.
This guy's a cop armed with a gun.
I know, mm-hmm. But hanging off a gutter. And I'm just... Hey, I'm
if
human.
If you can fall 8 feet and talk on the radio, you could fall 8 feet and pull a trigger.
Right. Sometimes I suck at my job. And so given a little bit of grace, the fact that that contact was made was probably the difference in a rush shot or a peaceful squeeze.
I don't know. I mean, there's so many questions that it brings up.
Had it gone differently, though, the questions would be
much
Civil War fuel.
Much more dire. Yeah,
I know that's probably a little bit hyperbolic, but
no, I don't think it is. I really don't.
I'm just saying.
So let's talk about some other information that we're now privy to. So did you realize that there, Tim, that there were 12 million stocks of Donald J. Trump shorted the day before the assassination attempt?
Anybody say BlackRock? It's insane because that backfired so hard. Let me just tell you. I was looking because I'm passionate about stock trading, but I popped on the next day and saw Truth Social and I was like, dadgummit. I mean, I don't want to be the person who takes advantage of a tragedy, but I missed that one.
So
big.
Explain that, Tim. Somebody, if people are shorting 12 million stocks.
12 million shares.
12 million shares.
Okay, this is a $40. So that is 120,000 puts, which is for almost any stock on the market, 120,000 puts. That's 120,000 times 100 is... 12 million, correct? Is that my math is homeschool math, and forgive me if I'm a literal decimal off because that's a big difference. But 120,000 puts goes like that is newsworthy. That's gonna make it into the
it's a huge
news cycle.
Risk,
that's a
right?
huge risk, and that's something you do on. That's like insider trading type.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious as a heart attack. Like, you don't see 120,000 puts move unless somebody knows something. That's when the whole market piles in on something. Like, it's going to be on Reuters or, you know, it's going to be a newsworthy put
so,
buy.
Yeah. And
period.
From everything that I can tell, BlackRock definitely seems to be behind this stock buy, which is if people don't know, is a Soros-controlled financial behemoth.
A thousand, that's 120, I believe it's 120 or 12,000. I know that's a big difference, and I apologize.
I did bring up the calculator if you need me to.
Okay, 12,000 times 100. Guys, I'm so sorry. My brain, I've...
Times 100?
I'm usually decent at...
1,200,000.
Okay, so it's 120,000 puts.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody buys 150, if a market maker buys 150 puts, like you'll see 100 or 1,000 is like instant news.
Mm-hmm.
120,000 puts.
That's huge.
Times 100 shares, and this is on a 47. I believe it hit $47 the next day. True Social did.
Mm-hmm.
This is. 1,000 can make news if a market maker buys
those. So it was DJT, it was True Social, and it was Rumble, I believe. All three of those that were involved.
That is, and it would have been.
So
and we're talking about this is terms.
This is
okay. So a put is 100. It is leveraging. You're taking a little bit of money with a guarantee of. I mean, I buy. You're basically
betting that the stock is going to go down.
So
like
Blink,
the housing market crisis.
Blink went up about 20% since I told you guys I bought the calls.
Mm-hmm.
Those calls went up 140%. So it's leveraging money. So it's like you got to be pretty.
It's when betting
and it's a zero sum game.
Under.
It is guaranteed betting that anything they buy or that they're selling puts to people. Saying we're going to sell you the stock at this price because they know it's going down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the most direct manipulation that happens in the market is in options. So
I thought that was
you can have a really good stock and market makers are freely selling calls on it because they're going to drive the price down.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're selling 120,000 puts on
it's
this,
a huge risk.
Huge risk. That's how Melvin Capital went down.
Mm-hmm.
Was selling puts on GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
Literally took out was it like $2 billion in a day that took them out of business. This 120,000 is that kind of movement. Now, if Truth Social had went up to $100, it would have probably.
Taking them out.
Well, no, like we would have seen news that somebody was suffering, and it was probably, I hate to jump to conclusions, but I'm going to assume BlackRock was involved with the selling of those puts. Mm-hmm. Like I would imagine those could be traced back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a clear and obvious insider.
Okay. So
trading?
It seems to be, I mean, I don't see how you explain it any
without
other
the
way.
Without the fruition of it.
It was 120,000 times 47. So that's 5,640,000 shares.
At what, $40 a piece?
Yeah. No, 120 is 1.2 million. Sorry, 1.2 million shares at $40 a piece. So we're talking about, what, 500 million?
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And people don't do that kind of option selling.
Right.
Especially puts because your losses are unlimited. You're guaranteed you're going to sell that stock at the price it was that day to somebody. If it could quadruple, you know, it go to $200, it go to $500. That's what happened with the other. And your losses are unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have a really good guarantee when you sell puts that you are going to manipulate that stock down, whether by selling back and forth between two market makers or shooting the CEO. I didn't know that, but that's insane.
Yeah.
Like,
so Josh Hawley actually tweeted recently that whistleblowers have admitted that most of the security detail at the rally were not even Secret Service agents. And you know, I think that makes sense given everything that we have seen.
Thanks.
That it was definitely not the A-team that
did
were
not
out there. from the Secret Service, and I think it was a scaled down. Now,
may have been the F team.
Right. And so he actually sent a letter about that, tweeted about that, that, you know, it was not, they had not provided, DHS had not provided Trump the proper protection for this rally. And those are all questions that we need to know the answers to. There was also a Senate briefing on the shooting, and here's what we know from that hearing. There was some information that came from that hearing that I think is definitely pertinent to this discussion, you know, and it's some of the things we've already mentioned, but the shooter had visited the rally site days in advance to scope it out. That came out in the Senate hearing. 62 minutes elapsed from the shooter's initial suspicious photo that the Secret Service took of him to the shooting. They had literally taken a picture of the shooter 62 minutes before the first shot. 20 minutes elapsed from being spotted by the snipers to firing the shots. So again, you know, we can blame this even on the local who climbed up the, you know, the side of the building and didn't do anything about it. But 20 minutes elapsed from the counter snipers knowing this guy was on the roof with a weapon. And 20 minutes between when they knew and the first shot from the shooter. So again, these are just a few of the details that came out in the Senate hearing that again just point to an egregious incompetence by the Secret Service. And that's what I say. Like, you know, the Secret Service was trying to blame this on the local law enforcement, and the local law enforcement was like, no, it's the Secret Service. And I agree, like the buck stops at the Secret Service. That's the bottom line. Like, they are supposed to be in charge of this. They are supposed to be leading this and, you know, knowing what's going on. And it was obvious that they failed.
So I redid those calculations. It was $360 million worth of shares that were shorted.
$360 million.
And
that's serious money.
The loss on that, if whoever bought those puts, or whoever sold those puts was probably, because it went up to almost $40 from 30. So it was in 5 days, it was up 13%, but it was a significant, like a, probably a $30 million loss.
Sheesh.
That's
back to your original point, Ben. So I mentioned earlier that I've done a vice presidential security detail. Mm-hmm. In 2014, I think Joe Biden came and spoke at Joplin High School, and we had a big briefing. It was, the Secret Service was exactly like you said, super buttoned up. You could tell who was in charge in the room. They were in charge. They made the statement something to the effect of.
So how far ahead did you meet with them?
I mean, we met 3-4 hours before. I mean, he flew in, he got off the airplane. I guess in hindsight, we could say we met at the airport. They briefed us, made sure everyone knew their assignment. They sent each of us local guys to an intersection, and they said something to the effect of, it's our job to protect the vice president. It's your job to protect the citizens from us.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, they lived by it, because whenever they rolled up to an intersection, they whizzed up within inches of people, because people were supposed to stay back. But you know how people go.
Yeah.
The vice presidents, they went to the nearest intersection and wanted to get as close as they could. And they nearly hit these people till it passed. And then they went on around. It was wild.
That makes sense.
And they were in.
That
they
philosophy
were,
makes sense.
They were in charge. There was no doubt who was in charge. They took command of everything. And they took command of, I mean, there's probably 50 of us. They took command of 50 alpha males there. So, oh, how the mighty have fallen.
It was clear that they had a plan and that they knew who was supposed to be in charge. You guys knew who was supposed to be in charge.
Absolutely.
You knew the plan and you executed the plan. Here, it seems like there's a complete breakdown in all of those things.
The team is an exaggeration.
I mean, not even to have a contingency plan either, like how to get back up in there if something went awry, which it did. It just looks like It's a clown show.
I've got to know who sold the 120,000 puts.
Tim is still stuck on this.
I'm stuck. Stocks. No, it's not like this is.
So are they rich or poor? I'll never understand.
They lost some money there. Yeah. The but they were. You're talking about 300 had. I mean, if a CEO of a company, I think is DJT the stock that Trump's the CEO of, yeah. That, correct? Yeah, a CEO getting assassinated would, I mean, that goes to zero from 30. And the boon would have been $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
People have killed for less.
So the bottom line of all this is there's so much information pouring in, and it takes time to verify, you know, to weed out the stuff, the crazy stuff. But the more we learn, the more questions arise about this. Really, that's just the bottom line. And the fact is this, our enemies are salivating. We can't even protect the president. How can we have any confidence that our citizens are protected from our enemies if we can't protect the president? And by the way, the image of Donald Trump getting up after getting shot in the head, fist pumping the air, telling the people to fight for this country, it's already legendary.
Have you noticed Trump's demeanor since this?
Oh, it's has changed. We're going to talk about that, especially at the RNC.
Insane.
It has.
Like every picture I've seen of him,
different. He looks different.
He looks somber.
He acts different.
Like,
he has a different temperament.
This is life or death.
Mm-hmm.
And
here's the thing, you contrast that image of Trump getting up after that,
and it's
blood running down his face, with the other side, with Biden falling down the stairs, you know, talking like he's drunk all the time. It's a powerful contrast in image. Like, and that's one of the factors that figure into this moving forward. But
it is
a powerful image.
Have you seen the video? And I know it's about time to call in the dogs, but have you seen the video of the guy that predicted this in March?
I did see that.
I saw that back in March, mm-hmm. and I thought, that's ridiculous.
Even the ear and all of it.
It was crazy.
I know.
Was this in The Simpsons?
No.
No, it wasn't.
No,
the
this
Simpsons
was literally
this
a guy in a church,
mm-hmm.
pretty much pulled a Simpsons.
Oh, that's the kind of church I grew up in.
I saw this in March, and I was like, oh, geez.
It is pretty remarkable. We'll have to bring that up sometime.
Yeah, it was.
So I found a great AI video somebody put together of Trump as if he is Neo in the Matrix. Have you seen this?
I have seen this.
This is so good, man. Best AI rendition yet. So
AI is good for something.
Here it is. You got Biden and the guy shooting at Trump.
Mr. Anderson.
Right. He picks the bullet out of the air, throws it down. He's got the Trump shoes on.
He is the one.
The guy says, he's the one.
Morpheus.
Those boots.
He kicks him with the golden Trump boots.
He's got the thigh-high moccasins.
Joe Biden as Mr. Anderson.
Shout
so
out
great.
To Jesse Baker.
The Zuck.
It's Obama and Zuckerberg.
Oh. Biden could use that superpower there.
Biden hasn't moved that fast in 15 years.
He's the one.
I know Kung Fu.
And Obama and Zuck just take off. I thought that was pretty good. So, but here's the thing. You got to see this too. So I've got this foreign cartoon rendition of the assassination attempt and the obvious incompetence of the security. I mean, I think it's just our enemies laughing at us because of how this has taken place. But this is hilarious. You got to see this. Because it's just like all the things that we're saying is exactly what they put into this. Here it goes.
Being checked.
Which building?
The only building in front of the stage.
Ah, that building. Maybe. Like
maybe?
Maybe not.
How maybe not?
You think it's necessary?
I see a guy moving on the roof.
Ah, the usual guys.
Boss is very suspicious.
Might be doing a parkour.
He's lying down flat on his stomach.
He's probably resting
after doing parkour.
He's looking towards Trump.
Maybe the Trump fan tried to get...
He might be doing parkour.
Most likely.
So it's like the Secret Service guy, and then you've got the counter sniper, and they're going back and forth. He said maybe he's a Trump fan trying to get a better view of him.
This is exactly
he's pulled out a rifle.
A rifle. Definitely a rifle. Can you tell if it's a real rifle?
How I know if it's real?
Maybe it's fake, and we are worrying for nothing.
It's a real rifle.
Very strange.
Boss, awaiting your orders.
Do you any clay pigeon shooting devices?
I don't think he's practicing shooting clay pigeons.
We need to be sure, Frank.
Boss, now he's aiming towards Trump.
Can you see his expression?
What expression?
His facial expression.
He seems to be mad.
I don't know, boss.
Or is he looking at him?
Admirably.
I can't tell.
Admirably.
This is a sad thing because I make excuses for everyone. And this is what goes on in my brain when someone does something really despicable. And I'm like, it's the good people on both sides argument that goes on in my head. That, you know, there's...
He's just using the rifle scope to get a better look.
Boss, if we don't act now, he will shoot him.
Stay calm, Frank. I don't think...
He's shooting, much. Boss.
Holy cow.
He's still shooting. What do I do?
Are you sure you don't see any clay pigeons around?
No clay pigeons.
All right, in that case, fire a warning shot immediately.
That is great.
Pretty much if...
Do you see any clay pigeon devices? Clay shooting pigeon devices? Maybe he's just looking through his scope to get a better view.
This is why I could not be in law enforcement. I just assume everybody has good intentions.
Well, we need jurors like you, Tim.
Tim gives everybody the benefit.
I really do.
That's a great quality, except in this kind of situation.
Except for when lives are at stake.
Yeah. Well, then you have The View. Blaming this on white men having access to guns.
Yes.
You know, that doesn't surprise any of us, but listen to this.
Has to do that. And I also need to say, I hope that at some point in this country, we do have a conversation about what is happening, because we can't just react when it is our side. What was this again?
Anna
it
Navarro.
Was, you know, a 20-year-old lone wolf, white whack job with easy access to a gun.
Wolf
and we
is a
have
strong
to have a
word.
Conversation about that. Because it wasn't a drag queen. It
oh
wasn't
my.
An immigrant.
But it was.
It wasn't
actually
a pissed off liberal woman. This
borderline.
Is and this keeps happening. And we need to react, not as left or right, not as Republicans or Democrats.
Oh, so
we need
uniting.
To react as Americans.
Look at the
and
view.
We need to ask
uniting
better.
Us.
Okay, I just want to add that the shooter. Yes, it was a 20-year-old kitchen worker from nearby Bethel Park in Pennsylvania. According to a CNN reporter, senior law enforcement officials said that he bought 50 rounds of ammunition from a local gun store hours before the rally. Shouldn't that have been reported? Somebody
shouldn't that have been reported?
They have ammo vending machines these days.
50 rounds.
50 rounds. I mean,
sign the papers now.
If Joy Behar came in my house, she would literally melt.
Did you see? Right.
She would trip on 50 rounds in my house.
50 rounds is anyways.
How was that?
Did you see what Elon Musk said this week about ABC? He wants to buy ABC to shut The View down.
Did you not
see that?
That's great. No.
He said he wants to buy ABC just to shut The
that
View
would
down.
Be
I love
so
capitalism.
Great. Dude, Musk is on it. These people are insane.
A 20-year-old white guy? I mean, we've seen that many times
but
now.
Young, this is funnier than SNL to me. So
nobody reported that he bought 50 rounds of ammunition?
Nobody reported that he bought 50 rounds of ammunition.
You ever heard of a bucket of bullets?
Joy would
be. Well, there's also a post-mortem, as Alyssa said.
How do they even keep it straight?
You ever bought a bucket of bullets at Walmart?
I've got several of those bucket of bullets. That
50 rounds?
That big ammo can I have out there has 10,000 in it.
I was going to say.
So anyway.
I don't think you have to report when you buy
it. I think it was his dad's gun, though, right?
It was.
That's what I was told.
Yeah. Do we know that for sure?
That's everything I've heard.
So here's the thing. Nevertheless.
His libertarian dad.
When we make America great again, it'll be pallet of bullets.
Right.
That is a more common transaction.
I think, Tim, you were right. We narrowly escaped the possibility of a civil war by a quarter of an inch, less than a quarter of an inch. Here's what's crazy. The next day, Trump plays a full round of golf.
Wild. I wish he could have made it to the. I wish he could have made it to the fight.
Yeah, that would have been epic.
But I had a feeling. I mean, that's
a heavy day.
It would be. It really is. And day. I mean, he has seemed
not
like
to
a different that, person. I will
not
say.
Not to mention that ear would have been unsightly that night.
Have you ever seen cauliflower ear?
That would have been the best looking,
ear in the building.
Best looking ear in the building.
Dude, cauliflower ear is a trip. That's
yeah.
Have you seen a wildly cauliflowered ear?
I touched one today.
No.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's got a cauliflower ear.
Really?
Mm.
I remember when Steve-O tried to get one, and he couldn't.
God, they're gross. They're thick.
Randy,
have you touched one?
He had Randy Orton just smash him in the ear for like 4 hours.
Oh, man.
Have you ever touched one?
No.
They're hard
never had
table.
I've never had a desire.
Oh,
in
man.
Fact, it would be gunpoint that got my
He's
hand
gonna have
up.
Some serious scar tissue.
Yeah.
Right there. That's for sure. Well, that covers...
I wonder if he'll get plastic surgery.
I don't think so. Why would you?
I would...
You
I
need
would
to
just,
wear that badge with
that
honor.
I feel like that's like the conservatives are wearing ear badges these days, or ear...
Yeah, I think
ear bandages.
That was a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, I've seen like, people. I'm saying you're probably far right if you're wearing an ear bandage like a
fashion accessory.
Well, like a liberal wears a mask.
Oh,
period.
I will say that is super dorky.
The ear bandage is the mask of the conservatives.
I will say that's super dorky, but I've got a friend on Facebook that compared that to the Charlie Manson family carving swastikas in their head.
Oh my!
Come on,
that's a little extreme.
Not even.
That's a little extreme.
Well, all right. So that covers what we know anyway about the Trump assassination attempt. We're going to end this episode. I'm not going to be here next week, so we're going to come back after the break and do our second episode that will be for next week. But for now, don't forget, you can go over to Spotify and to Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe. You can leave a 5-star review. That'll really help us out. You can also go over to our YouTube, Tim, and subscribe, which is the @ManCaveCaucus YouTube channel. We have like 40 subscribers already.
You can be in the first 100.
Add your name to that list. And we promise that we're going to continue to put out some content moving forward. And you can catch us over there, or at least Tim. I think Tim is the only one that's got any shorts.
I'm so embarrassed
so far,
like,
but
what's been thrown up? I'm like, man, that was the part I thought you would edit out on last week. No, but
it's
hey,
comedic gold, Tim.
It really isn't, but hey, just glad to be a
you
part.
You deserve to be here.
People, yeah. Tell a friend really this don't. Week to tune into the caucus. Join the caucus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There you hashtag, go.
Hashtag
join
the caucus.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you guys.
We love
until next
doing
week,
this.
God bless everybody.
God bless.